Good morning. This morning I'm going to be reading from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Then Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do not know him, and you may see him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Then Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still do not know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do speak on my own. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. It's the word of God. Thank you.
Before we listen to God's message for us this morning, I invite you to pray with me and invite the Spirit to open your hearts and your minds to receive word. Let us pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for ways to lift up our voices as we worship you, express our love for you. Thank you for your word and for it being so readily available to all of us. Thank you that today we can gather here in your name, listen to your word, and expect you to speak to us. May you indeed speak to us. May your Spirit encourage us, open our hearts and our minds to receive your message. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Satisfaction guaranteed. I mean, you see this stamped on shipping boxes and see it printed at the bottom of receipts, splashed across storefront windows. And it's the promise we crave before we buy, right? Long before Mick Jagger complained that he can't get no satisfaction, this phrase was already part of the American consumer language. And the expression actually has its roots in the 19th century mail order business. In 1872, Montgomery Ward, or maybe some of you remember him as Monkey Wards, he offered a revolutionary and essential marketing tool to skeptical rural farmers. Satisfaction guaranteed, or your money back. So it was designed to build trust, right? If you couldn't see the goods before you bought them, you needed guarantee that you wouldn't be disappointed. Satisfaction guaranteed. But as we look at John chapter 14, we see that long before return policies and customer service lines existed, people were already looking for a guarantee. In the upper room, in the heavy hours before the cross, Jesus' friends were reaching out for reassurance. And Philip finally says, but many of us probably, but rarely say out loud, is, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Show us the Father, that's all we need. In other words, give me a money-back guarantee and I'll feel better about investing my life in you. And this passage unfolds in a thick fog of anxiety. Jesus has just washed their feet. Judas has slipped into the night to betray him. Peter has been told that he'll deny his Lord before the sun rises. And it's into this churning atmosphere that Jesus speaks, and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. But the questions keep rising. Thomas speaks for the unsure, and he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He says, we've no idea where you're going. So how do you expect us to know the road? He wants a map. Philip speaks for the unsatisfied. Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content. Show us the Father. He wants a clear and evident presence. And so when we talk about you and me, I mean, are we a Thomas or a Philip today? Do you crave clarity or comfort? A GPS route or a guaranteed outcome? And by the way, we live in a culture that feeds this ache. Burger chains, you know, tell us we can have it our way. Insurance companies promise we're in good hands. Weight loss outfits offer 30-day refunds if we don't see a positive difference. We've been conditioned to believe that if we're not satisfied, we can just return the product. But what is more likely is that underneath the consumerism is a deeper and more honest human cry, and that is that we want to know that we're not alone. And what we see is that when Thomas asks for GPS coordinates, Jesus doesn't give him a travel app. He says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He says, I'm it. So listen closely. Discipleship is less about finding the right path and more about following the right person. So let me say that again. Discipleship is less about finding the right path and more about following the right person. And then Philip asks for the ultimate sign. He says, show us the Father. And what is Jesus' response? He says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? So if you want to know what God looks like, then you look at Jesus. Look at him washing feet. Look at him healing the broken. Look at him forgiving enemies, welcoming outsiders, telling the truth, and laying down his own life. But let's take it a step further. If the world wants to know what Jesus looks like, you know where they look? They often look at us. They look at those of us who say that we are Christ followers, that we are believers. There's an old story about a businessman rushing to catch a train, and he gets to the track and bumps into a kid, knocking him to the ground and scattering his bag of Legos all over the platform. And he wavers momentarily, but then he pulls the boy to his feet and he helps him collect all the Lego pieces. And the boy asks, "Mister, are you Jesus?" And it's a nice sentiment, but it begs the question, would anyone mistake us for Jesus? Or like someone put it, if you are arrested for being a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you? You see, if we're entitled at restaurants, or if we are digital warriors posting vitriol on social media, or if we walk past the homeless without a second glance, no one is going to find satisfaction in the God we profess to know. So does Jesus guarantee satisfaction? Yes, but not the money back kind. He offers three specific guarantees that satisfy our deepest needs instead. He guarantees an eternal home. He says, "There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you." So he anchors our future in security. The world may shake, but your place with the Father is set. He guarantees the gift of divine presence. Doesn't hand us a doctrinal packet and then just disappears. He offers himself. He says, "I am the way, and if you know me, you will know my Father also." So, satisfaction in Jesus' vocabulary is presence. God with us, even when the answers are thin. And he guarantees us the gift of participation. He says, "The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father." He invites us into participation. Our lives are caught up in God's global mission of mercy. The guarantee is meaning. Your life, your prayers, your deeds are taken up into what God is doing in the world. Now, the problem is that we want control, right? We want to know the way and the destination. We want certainty. But Jesus offers confidence. Certainty is a feeling that fluctuates based on the news cycle. Confidence is trust in a person's character. "Let not your hearts be troubled" doesn't mean you'll never be troubled. It means trouble won't have the last word because God has your back. Jesus doesn't promise that the road will be smooth or that every return will be processed in 30 days. He guarantees that we will never walk that road alone. And when Philip said, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied," Jesus didn't hand him a lightning bolt or a ladder to heaven. He hands him himself. And he picked up the basin and the towel. Doesn't mean that if you have a relationship with Christ, you'll have access to all the answers. Okay? No, but you'll have 24/7 access to the one who does have all the answers. Although there are answers you may not always like. So if you have a troubled heart today, hear his word, believe. If you are lost, hear his word, I am the way. If you wonder if your life matters, hear his promise, you will do great works in my name. This is the ultimate satisfaction guaranteed, a place prepared for you, a person present for you, and a purpose worth your whole life. Amen. Merciful God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for Jesus, and that by knowing him, by looking at who he is, we know who you are, God our Father. May we find purpose and meaning in your existence. May you bless us with your presence. May Jesus indeed be for us the way and the truth and the life. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.